Okay, we're wrap stuff up today. I'll pick up on the bottom of Chaf Hayamid Beis. Let me just go over the Mishnah that you did yesterday on Chaf Hayamid Aleph. The Mishnah on Chaf Pei 25a, 10 lines down. So Matnit in the Mishnah says Shluchei Mitzvah Pturim Min HaSukkah. That if a person's a Shluch Mitzvah, he's on a Mitzvah mission, he's exempt from a Sukkah. And the Gemara learns it's based on the idea of based on a Brisa. The Gemara learns it out. You had it yesterday. That people who are sick and those who are their attendants are also patur min hasukkah. That lechora is in a different sugya. That's the aspect of mitztayer. Mitztayer, a person's in distress, so they're patur from the sukkah. And about the mishamshin's question, whether, in other words, the cholim is more comfortable in the house. He's mitztayer in the sukkah. His condition will improve in the house, so he's patur. Mishamshin are either doing a mitzvah by helping him, or they're also part of his entourage, and they're two are also from his tayar. And then the Mishnah says, Ochlan and Shotan are right, puts the sukkah. The person could have a snack outside the sukkah. Okay, that's from yesterday. Okay, let's go to the Chaf Hayamid Beis 25b. We'll pick up two lines from the bottom. Okay, Chaf Hayamid Beis 25b, two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa. Now, the way Rashi learns the sugya, this Tana does not agree with Osek mitzvah, patra min a mitzvah. So we just said in the Mishnah that Osek mitzvah is patra min a mitzvah. Rashi takes it that the Tanayim in this Brisa don't hold from it, though there's another way to learn that they do hold from it. But first we'll learn the way Rashi learns. So he says, Chatan v'shoshavinim v'chol b'nei chuppah. Chatan means the groom, the chasen, and the shoshavinim are the groom's men. And v'chol b'nei chuppah, so those are other friends of his. So shoshavinim are his bosom buddies, and b'nei chuppah are his other friends, but not quite as close. They're patur min tefila. They're all exempt from tefila. So Rashi says they're patur from tefila because they require kavanah. They're so busy being mesameach the chasen, and they can't focus on tefila. He says min tefillin, and they're also patur from tefillin. And Rashi says because there's a lot of shechrut, there's a lot of blood intoxication, but call it rosh and levity. So melam, they're also patur from tefillin. And he says v'chayavim b'kriyat shma, but they're all chayiv in Kriyat Shema. So Rashi says the bottom line, mitzvah kavanata in lo pasuk rishon. It only requires kavanah for one pasuk, like one sentence, six words, right? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, right? The six words, the only achieved datan shakatana, the kro pasuk rishon. Everybody can get their attention all focused for one pasuk. The top line on top of them and all, 26a, the top line. Mishum Rabbi Shila Amrum, in the name of Rabbi Shila, they said, Chatan patur v'shoshavim v'chol b'nei chuppah chayavin. So Rabbi Shila agrees with the Tanakama on most of the issues that everybody's patur from tefillin v'chayavim kriyat shema, but he holds the chasen, he's just talking about kriyat shema. The Tanakama holds that everybody's chayavim kriyat shema, which is the pasuk rishon, he, Rabbi Shila, holds, and that he disagrees, chatan patur v'shoshavim v'chol b'nei chuppah chayavin. It was only the chasen is also patur from kriyat shema, that he's so tired, he's so far tumult with the wedding, so he can't even focus on the one pasuk. So that's the only difference he has with that. Okay, so that's the first way to understand this brisa. Did you do this brisa yesterday, Michael, or not?
I went to the first line.
Okay, that's what we're up to. Okay, so there's two ways, again, to learn the brisa. So either the Tana, so Rashi learns, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says on the top line, Rashi, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru Chatan Patur, Mikriyat Shema Detarid, he's too far tumult, Ushar B'nei Chupa Chayavin, Relate Lahut Lahani Tanai, Osef Mitzvah Tafur Min HaMitzvah. So Rashi learns these Tanayim do not hold that Osef Mitzvah Tafur Min HaMitzvah. So whatever patur they have is a different patur, which we discussed. They can't have the right kavana. They don't have the right level of seriousness for tefillin and things like that. And that's the reason for the patur. But the other way to say is that indeed, you could say they do hold from osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah. But there's an idea, and I don't know what you did yesterday, but the Tulsus talks about, there's an idea that if I could do both mitzvahs, right, okay, so Michael says he did it, but so there's an idea that if I could do both mitzvahs, then I should. So even though I'm osek b'mitzvah, but if I could do another mitzvah easily, then I'm obligated to do that other mitzvah. So that could be the way the Tana is going with this. So he holds, that they can't do both. They can't be mismatched, the chasen and the kala and do those other mitzvahs, but they have mikriyashma, say one sentence, that they could do. In other words, that will not interfere with it. Saying one sentence will not interfere with their simchas chasan mekala. And Rabbi Shila holds that the chatan is still patur because the chatan can't get his das together. That will be the same idea as we had before. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts on anything that we did so far? Hey, what's up?
I have a question about Kriya Shema.
Okay, Ruth, one minute. Yosef has a question, then I'll come to you. Okay. That's an excellent question. So, yeah, I got it.
Could you repeat the question?
Okay, so Yosef asked, why Rashi gives two reasons for the Turim in the Braisa. When it comes to Patrim and Tefillah, he says you require Kavano. And from Tefillin, he says Mishum Deshchicha Shifrit B'Kalat Rosh. So the implication is, and they have this in the Sifrit Gemara, they wanted to say that for Tefillin, it could be, you know, I could do work when I have my Tefillin on. I don't need that great level of Kavana when I have my Tefillin on. But if I'm Shikras and Kalas Rosh, then I can't have tefillin on. So tefillin, yes. So right, Shikras should pater everybody. That should be the all up. That should pater everything. You're right. That I don't have an answer for. Okay, what do you got for me, Ruth?
So Kriya Shema, if it's pater from Kriya Shema at a particular time, and then a time frame of the chuppah itself passes, is finished, is he still pater from saying Shema?
You're talking about the chasen, right? Yeah. So the Gemara Masechet Brachot says like the chasen, and didn't you have this in the Gemara yesterday? Yeah, you had it in yesterday's Gemara. Yeah, he's tarud tirud at the mitzvah. He's still for a tumult, you know, about having relations. All right. So he's okay. So Michael spoke to you yesterday. Go ahead, speak, Michael.
And I didn't get to ask that question.
He's so focused on the consummation of the marriage, and then for the next 7 days, he's completely consumed with being a sameach. Some said that he didn't take care of it the first night, whatever.
Okay. Everybody good?
Okay. So the answer is, I didn't. So what's the resolution?
Again, the chasen is he's for tumult with having relations with his bride the first night. So his mind, he can't collect his mind to have kavana for the first pasuk of Kriya Shema because he's going to be busy the first night. And then Michael was saying the other nights. Is it so clear that he's passed from Kriya Shema the other nights? What's the story? So one second. We said in the first Tana held that they were chayavim to Kriya Shema, right? And then the Reb Shila says patam patur. So one minute. Let me just take a look. One second. Where did you see 7 days, Michael? He's patur from Kriya Shema. All right. So I don't know about the tour for 7 days, but the chasen. Although we did see here in this brayse, so we said that the chasen was patur, and that sounds like it would be for all 7 days from Rabbi Shila on the top line. So it sounds like So again, because we were talking about. The chasen and the shoshavim chol b'nei chuppah are patur min hatefillin. It doesn't mean just for 1 day. It means that they're part of that 7 days. They're involved with it. Let's go back. Okay, everybody focus. Okay, so we said there's two pshatim in this braisa. Rashi holds that the tanaim and the braisa do not hold from osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah. So if it's Osei B'mitzvah is not Patur B'mitzvah, so it's just going on the idea, can I have Kavana for the first, you have the blurb there?
Yeah, right there.
Read what it said. Scream. What does it say? Scream. What does it say?
That's 7 days from Sukkot. But they're saying, he's asking Kriya Shema.
All right. Anyway. Let me move on. Anyway, so the point being, though, from this Braisa, it sounds like the Tanakam of the Braisa sounds like that the Chasen is Chayav in Kriya Shema during 7 days, and that Rabbi Shila says the Chasen is Patur. But the first night might be a different getter, and the first night he's tarred, you know, tiered at the mitzvah. And I think the Gemara says it's the Mishnah Masechet Brachot. It says it says local arosili told b'shem yavobi told. The Gemara says they said chatan's patur from kriyat shema lada rishon, chatan's patur from kriyat shema the first night. Then I think that one of the opinions says local habali told b'shem yavobi told. And everybody who is like wants to assume such a situation where his kavana is so great that he can't have kavana. I don't know if everybody's to be in that situation. Anyway, but from this braisa, it sounds like there's a machloket whether the chasen is chayiv and kriyat shema on the first pasuk or not. That's the way it sounds like from this braisa. But the first night might be different. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. I've got to keep moving. Okay, now on the second line of Chavav Amar Aleph, Tani, we learn in the braisa, Abri B'chanani Ben Akavya. When we say Pirkei Abba, we're B'chanani Ben Akashka. This is B'chanani Ben Akavya. Codeface, now we're back to Osik B'mitzvah Patur in a mitzvah. A person is busy in a mitzvah, he's exempt from other mitzvahs. So Tanya, Amri B'chanani Ben Akavya, Codeface Svarim, Tefillin and Mezuzot, the people who write Svarim, or Sifrei Torah, and Tefillin and Mezuzos, Hain, they, the Sofrim, the Tagare, and the merchants that they, you know, sell the items to. We're going to sell perhaps to the public, the Tagarein. Or if there's like a chain, like you have, you know, wholesaler A and he sells to wholesaler B and then it goes to the public. Everybody who's busy b'melechet shemayim means he's osek in a mitzvah, like by providing the public with necessary items for their mitzvahs. And then the Gemara interjects, la tuye mochrei tchelet, that comes to sell the people who sell tchelet. Back in the Gemara, Turim Kriyat Shema, they're all exempt from Kriyat Shema, Uminat Tfila, and from Tfila, from Shemona Esrei, Uminat Tfilin, Umikom Mitzvot Hamurot B'Torah, and from every mitzvah that's in the Torah, L'Kayim Devrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, She'er Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Osek Mitzvah Patra Min HaMitzvah, that Osek Mitzvah is Patra Min HaMitzvah. And we'll see in a minute. Let me take it out now. It's a whole question: if a person's in this for money, is he still comes as getter where he has all the turim? So here's the thing from our Aladav. The Magen Avraham in first from the words of Rashi. Let's see Rashi, Tagare in line 3. Halochim mehen kidelem kor ulham siam tzarich lehem. If a person purchases it from the sofer to sell it to the people who need it, So he says.
Broker.
Okay, so the Magen Avraham infers from the words of Rashi that only a merchant who distributes tefillin and mezuzos the shem shemayim, primarily because he wants to make them available to people who cannot otherwise obtain them, is considered a osek b'mitzvah, one who's involved in a mitzvah. However, one whose primary reason for selling these items is to earn a living is not considered a osek b'mitzvah, and he's not exempt from other mitzvahs that he encounters on the job. That's what the Magen Avraham wants to say. The Beir Halacha was the distinction between those who write tefillin and those who sell them. Writing tefillin and mezuzos is an actual mitzvah act, but the Torah explicitly states he says whereas you write them, whereas selling them is not an explicit commitment in the Torah. It's just something necessary to facilitate a mitzvah, a hetra mitzvah. Thus, he suggests, is the Beir Halacha, that although selling tefillin for monetary gain diminishes the mitzvah significance of the act, writing tefillin is always considered a mitzvah act, even the sofer's primary intent is to earn a living. So when it comes to writing, that what you want to say, that is in, you know, incontrovertibly, that's a mitzvah. But selling, that could be undercut if you're doing it mostly for money. Rabush maintains that a sofer or tefillin merchant is exempt from shema and tefillah only when there is a customer on hand who absolutely cannot wait for his tefillin. Example, his flight is about to leave. Only in such a case is the merchant or sofer permitted to attend to his customer and forego Shema. However, under normal circumstances, a sofer may not forego Shema and Tfila merely because he's occupied with his customers. Okay? All right. So we have that piece. Let me go on. Let's see. Let's take a look. Okay. So back in the Braisa, okay, now we're on line 10 in the small gimel. Tana Rabbana, we learn the Braisa. So this is a different category. This means a person's on a business trip. Let's say he's allowed to do certain business during Chol HaMoed, and he's traveling for his business needs. And there are certain circumstances where you're allowed to do certain types of business on Chol HaMoed. So, Hol Chidrachim Bayom, Terim and Sukkah Bayom. So, if I'm traveling by day, I'm exempt from the Sukkah because we will come to see, but it means that, let's say I'd be in my house, but I leave my house, I travel, and I'm not in my house, so here too I travel, I'm not in the Sukkah. He says, V'chayav and Belayla, but at night, then they are obligated. Now they're not traveling anymore. Hol Chidrachim and Belayla, if their business travel is at night, Terim and Sukkah Belayla, V'chayav and Bayom. If he's traveling by day and by night, then he's patur both. Let's take a look at the Rashi on the fourth white line upstairs. It has to be similar to the way he dwells in his house. Just like during the year, he doesn't pull back from taking a business trip. So the Torah does not require him to abstain from a business trip just because it's Sukkot, if it's permissible, Melechet Chol HaMoed. So then, but he's Pater, just like he's not in the house, so he doesn't have to be in the Sukkah. Let's see back in the Gemara, around 20 lines down. Holchim Dvar Mitzvah. So now we're shifting gears again. So again, Holchim Drachim, that was business, and so it's Teshvu Kein Taduru. So I'm only in the house when I'm at home, and I'm not on the home, so I don't have to be in the Sukkah. So he says, Holchim Dvar Mitzvah, that's again, Osek Dvar Mitzvah. He's on a mitzvah mission. He says, and Rashi in the Mishnah yesterday said, what's Holchim? He said, let's say for instance, he's going to study Torah, wants to, you know, greet his Rebbe and to be do pity on Shvuyim. So Holchim Lidvar Mitzvah, Turim Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. They have an actual exemption by day or by night. So Rashi said, the Gemara says, Ki had Rav Chista Rabba Bar Avuna. Like Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Avuna, Kevu Aili B'Shav Tadrigla, Lebei Reish Kaluta, when they would be traveling on Shabbat, the Shabbos of Sukkot. Every Sukkot's got one Shabbos. So for that Shabbos, they wanted to go to the house of the Reish Galuta, to be Mekabel Reish Galuta. Habuganu Arak to the Sura. They would lie by the riverbanks in Sura. So Amri, they said, Anan Shluchei Mitzvah Anan, Upturim. We're Shluchei Mitzvah. Let's take a look at Rashi. Shluchei Mitzvah Anan, Teth Neraloin. Shabbanu Lishmoa Hadrasha. We came to words. It's twofold. We said if you're going to study Torah, you have a patur, and you're going to be mekabel pnei rabba, your patur. So Rashi says shabbat l'shmoa hadrasha. We're on a mission to hear the drasha. Ulak bil pnei reish galuta, and we want to be mekabel pnei reish galuta. So we have two paturim. All right. Who's
can
this
I
person?
Ask a question? Yeah. What level of obligation do you have when you're going to greet your rabba or somebody to find another sukkah?
So that's what he's saying, that in other words, if you're in transit, you don't have any obligation. You're patur.
But if you're in transit where there's a sukkah available, that's irrelevant.
If you feel like doing it, that would be nice. But you have an absolute patur, right?
So
all
of these pop up sukkahs were not necessary because those were traveling Sukkot.
He says all these pop-up sukkahs are not necessarily people who are traveling. It depends a little bit. You have to parse this out a little bit. First of all, the Gemara said that if you travel by day, you're obligated in the sukkah at night. Right? And you travel at night, you're chayv during the day. So that's the first you sowed. In other words, that's a business travel. And then, which is the case that you're talking about, Malka?
So I guess what you're saying is the actual transit that you're going
right.
to.
In other words, right. In other
not,
words,
not if, once you get to your destination.
No.
Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, right. Right. Once you've done wherever you arrived at your destination, and now you would get lodging, then you're chayiv in the sukkah. All right, let's take it further in the Gemara. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa. Shomrei Ya'ir Bayom, Turim Min HaSukkah Bayom, V'Chayav Balayla. Now the Shomrei Ya'ir, their job takes them out In other words, during the year they wouldn't be in the house because they're guarding the city. So if they're guarding the city during Sukkot, they're pturim in a sukkah bayom, b'chayim b'layla, but at night they're chayim. Shomri ayir b'layla, if they're night guardians, pturim in a sukkah b'layla, b'chayim b'yom. Shomri ayir b'yim b'yom b'layla, pturim in a sukkah b'yim b'yom b'layla. In other words, the shomri ayir, it's teshvu kein taduru. In other words, I would not be in my house now. I would be like on duty. And so b'mela, here they're also, they're pturim. All right, now, Shomrei Ganodu Pardesim, people who are guarding the gardens and the orchards, Paturim Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. They're Patur by day and by night. Now, we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, V'la Avdi Sukkah Hatam Baleifu. Why don't they make a sukkah there out in the orchard or whatever, in the gardens where they are, and have Yeshiva Sukkah there? So Abayamar Teshu Kein Taduru. So Abayi says you should dwell the way you would live. In other words, you dwell in the sukkah the way you live during the year. So Rashi takes it. Let's look at the Rashi. It's in the Haggadah Bach. Kein taduru. Kiderach shudar kol hashana beito. His kikato Torah laniach dirato. Vladur kan besukkah imito tav. Uchle tashvisho matza otav. The way Rashi takes it, that the mitzvah is for me to live in the sukkah with my bed, my kalim, my spreads. Here, he's out in the orchard, so he can't bring all those kalim there. And that's the p'tur, according to the way Abai is saying it. Back in the Gemara, and I'll post in two lines. Rava Amar, Pirza Korlaganav. Rava says that if the Ganav sees that I'm dwelling in the sukkah, he's going to feel like he has like a carte blanche to steal everything. That's my job, is to guard everything. And if the Ganav sees I have my sukkah, he's not seeing anything. And so now I have a green light to rob everybody. So that undercuts like the job that I'm doing. So Rav Amar Pirsa Kor LeGanav, it means like the breach calls for the Ganav. So my Binai, what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? One reason given by Abaye, the other reason given by Rava. So Ikab Binai would come into our car, the pavement. Let's say where he's guarding a pile of fruit. So the pile of fruit, he could have, like, I guess, near the entranceway of the sukkah, or situate the sukkah near the pile of fruit and keep an eye on it. So according to the second reason of Rava, he'd be obligated in the sukkah. But according to Abaye's reason, he would still be patur, still exempt from the sukkah. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let's go further.
Before you end the sugya,
welcome back, Pesach David. It's nice to have you back with us.
Thank you. Before you end the sugya on osik mitzvah patur mitzvah, if you're going to end it, the Haggadah with Pesach, when they're saying the all night the seder, they say Rabbi Tano higia is man kriyat shmash al shachrit. Why didn't Rabbi Yossi Aglili say osik mitzvah patur mitzvah?
Yes. So one answer I've heard is it means like that. Okay. Pesach Tav is asking like this. On the night of the Seder, everybody's Osek in the midst of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So why is it that they were doing the midst of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim till the Talmidim came and said, Higiyo Kizman Kriyat Shema Shacharis? They're not obligated in Kriyat Shema since they're Osek in Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the answer is, there was a Rabbi Yisrael Solomon who was here, but he said like this, that once it's Zman Kriyat Shema Shacharis, there's no mitzvah Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. In other words, so they're saying, now it's ready for Kriyat Shema. So there's no more for Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim anymore. Yeah, well, and now it's morning. So that's it. Okay.
Okay.
Right. You good? Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're at the two dots, midway down, Chaf Av Manav 26a. Cholim Mishamshem. We said in the Mishnah that people who are sick and their attendants are patur from the sukkah. And again, just to review what we said before, a chol is patur because of mitztayer. Mitztayer is a person's in distress. So he's patur from the sukkah. He could do better in terms of his healing if he's in the house than he's in the sukkah. And Mishamshim, there's a machloket why the Mishamshim have a patur. Either the Mishamshim have a patur because they're osek the mitzvah, they're helping the chola, or they're also covered with this aspect of mitztayer. In other words, when a person's mitztayer, he and his attendants would be inside, so they follow him. So cholim u'mishamshim. Shotan Rabbanan, we learned the braisa, chola sha'amru, when the Mishnah refers to a chola who's exempt from yeshiva tzukkah, lo chol sheish bo sakana, it's not per se a chol sheish bo sakana, that he would definitely be patur. He says, elafilu chol sheish bo sakana, even to chol that doesn't have sakana, Afilu chash beinav, he's got problems with his eyes. Afilu chash brosho, he sounds like a headache. But he says, Amrishim Liel, Pamachar chashi beinai, had problems with my eyes, but Kesari, in Caesarea. Rabbi Yossi Berebi Lishon Aniyu Mishav Shai Chatzasukka. Rabbi Yossi Berebi. Rabbi Yossi Berebi means the Gedol Ador. And Rashi says it's Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So he permitted me, myself and my servants, my tenants, to dwell outside the sukkah. Okay, that's the end of that brisa. Rav Shari L'Rav Acha Bardla L'Migna B'Kilta B'Sukka Mishum Bake. Rav made Rav Acha Bardla to lie down bekilt of a sukkah, means under a canopy, or presumably over the bed in the sukkah, because of baki, because of all these mosquitoes that were there bothering him. Now, when he's in this under this canopy, he's not going to, and Rashi says, look at Rashi, l'migna bekilta, b'yaf pishish l'gag bo'asari, even though it's got like a roof, the canopy does, and it's 10 tefachim high, but b'habi ki l'chutz sukkah. So he's like, it's like he's not doing the mitzvah sukkah by being there like that, so nevertheless he permitted him to do it, because of all these mosquitoes, meaning Mitztari is Patra Minasukka. That's the way it's coming out.
Why not sleep in his bed?
Yeah, right. So I still question about that. Why didn't he go inside? And so what was the answer? One second. Let me see if I have it here. Let's take a look. One second. Yeah, he says, however, he preferred to sleep under, this is footnote 28, he preferred to sleep under a canopy instead of the sukkah. This is according to one opinion, a person under a canopy is considered being within the sukkah itself. So there is one opinion, he says that would it be the Yotzei, but that's the way he cut it for him. Okay, so let's get back on the Gemara. The Rava, Shari Leila Rabbi Acha Bar Ada, the Migna Bar Mi Metalalta. So Rava permitted Rabbi Acha Bar Ada to lie down or sleep outside the sukkah, Yishum sircha de gargishta, because of the smelly earth that was in the sukkah. Now, here, let's look at Rashi. Sircha de gargishta, kark on Rashi around midway down the narrow columns. Sircha de gargishta, karka levana, white earth, shutakin ba karki de sukkah. They would cover the floor of the sukkah. So I saw in the Masechta Gemara, they said that after it rains, it gets like smelly. And then they said there that not everybody is affected the same way from this gargishta. Like some people find it like offensive to it. And so, but he was mitzvah. What? Sulfur? Oh, I don't know. All right, but we'll talk shortly about this in a minute. Okay, now back in the Gemara. Rava Latame. So Rava was following his sheet, the Dhamma Rava, mitzvah pat from the sukkah. But in the Mishnah we learned that only chol and patur minasukkah. So chol, we figure, is extreme mitztayer. Not everybody who's mitztayer gets to leave the sukkah. That's what we think, only like the illness type of mitztayer. So he says chol in mitztayer lo. So why is the Tana? In other words, the Tana wants to teach me the halacha. So the Tana should teach me mitztayer patur minasukkah. That's not what the Tana teaches me. The Tana teaches me cholin u'misham shem p'turim minasukkah. So if he's teaching me the cholin u'misham shem p'turim, it sounds like the only type of mitztayer is a sick person. He's patur, not everybody else who's mitztayer. So he says, cholin u'misham shem p'turim minasukkah, cholin mitztayer lo, amri cholu u'misham shem p'turim, mitztayer hu patur u'misham shem lo. So no, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, if you're a chola, everybody, you're both mitztayer, you're both patur. But if you're a chol and you're mitztayer, your attendants are also p'turim from the sukkah. So again, there are either a chol is a mitztayer, and there are other types of people who are mitztayer also p'turim in a sukkah. So why does the Tana teach me the case of chol? Because with the chol, he can teach me chol and misham sheim. Their attendants are also p'turim. The attendants of a chol are also p'turim. So either the attendants of p'turim because you're doing a mitzvah by helping the chol, or they're also exempt part of his star, but his star, he needs people to help him, so that's part of his star. They also get the exception.
Mitztayer is another word for depression.
Distress, D-I-F-T-R-E-S-S, distress. A person's in pain, suffering. Mitztayer. Okay, they, like the word sar. Sar is like, you know, right, sorrow. So it's mitztayer. All right, now one second. What? Who said paid?
It's Shamshayhem. Paid.
Yeah.
Are they also
I don't see why that would change the scenario, frankly.
What is Michael saying?
Okay, Michael was asking if the attendants are being paid, would they still be tour? Michael wants to connect to the earlier Gemara we said about the sofa. So if you go with the tzad, they're doing a mitzvah, but now they're getting paid for it, he wants to say that might undercut it. But the only thing is, though, but it's going to harm the chola, though.
No, the chola has to hire a second ship.
Oh, all right. I don't know. All right. There's a piece of Torah here. All right. Let me just do this quickly. We have a half hour, right? All right. So he mentions here, and you remind me a little bit. He says, Sukkot Tavshin Samach Aleph. There'll be Sukkot the fall of 2000. In Gilo, which is the neighborhood in Yerushalayim, there were missiles or artillery shells coming in. What was doing in the fall of 2000? Why were missiles coming on Gilo? Do you know?
21 years ago?
Yeah. No, it wasn't the Iraq War. Oh, that could be. Yeah. Right. They had the second intifada was then. That's 100% correct. Yeah. That's when Ariel Sharon went on the Har Abayit, and then it started the intifada. You're right. Thank you. I just couldn't remember what this was. Anyway, so all these things. So because of the situation, they had to go inside the house at night. So the question was, is the sukkah pasul during the day as well? In other words, if he's getting to the topic, if I can't live in the sukkah during some hours of the 24-hour period, maybe the sukkah is pasul to the sukkah. In other words, so missiles are coming into the sukkah at night. Well, all right, we have to touch this up a little bit. So he says the Ramah, based on the Mordechai, says that if you have a sukkah whose owners are afraid to sleep in the sukkah at night because you have like robbers or something like that who are going to break in on a sleep, so it's psula even during the day. In other words, if I can't be in the sukkah at night, I can't be there during the day either. So the Gemara says, Teishu kein tadur. The sukkah has to be ru'uya, to be living like you normally live. And this sukkah is not ru'uya to live like where you normally live in the house, so it's psula. So if I would look at that, it would sound like this sukkah is not good. This sukkah is not good because I can't be there at night. So then he says, but if you look, the halakha, there's another halakha, the Ramah brings down the name of the Mordechai, and he says, with this we will define everything and clarify. Mordechai teaches us the chus on Jews who live in lands that are cold, like in Europe it was cold during sukkahs, so they can't sleep in the sukkah at night because they're mitzayer to stay in the sukkah at night. So this limud zechus requires understanding. Why are those sukkahs l'chalut? In other words, the same svara you're using to exempt yourself from sleeping in the sukkah should pass the sukkah. I can't sleep in the sukkah. It's too cold in the sukkah. So then it shouldn't be good sukkah to even dwell in during the day. So Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg, Zitzal, explains it based on a prima gadim as follows. And it was a little bit like you were saying, Yosef. The sukkah where sakana to be in it is not psula from everything. In other words, it's psula because of its location. In other words, in the dangerous neighborhood, the sukkah was located in a dangerous neighborhood. So that then that's psula. So I build my sukkah in a dangerous neighborhood. So that's psula. So the sukkah isn't coming from the walls of the sukkah or anything like that. It's just from its location. I could have built it in my chatzer, which is protected, or the roof of my house, or something like that. So psula. So that's the reason why the sukkah in the cold land is not psula, because the core is just. The cold flows from the temporary nature of the sukkah. And so we built a temporary hut and it's cold. So we can't stay there. But the psak from the Mordechai and the Ramah, that if you set up the sukkah in a dangerous place of psula, that relates to the date. In other words, you could have set it up in location B. You set it up in location A. So the location A is dangerous. So that's the psul. Here it's just like the cold. It's just the nature of like the situation. It's not a big structure. So he says the sukkahs in Gilo or Ksheirot L'kim is the sukkah because all the sakana came from the fact that they're not surrounded by permanent walls. But that doesn't possible the sukkah. That's what he wants to say. All right, let me move on. Let's get going. All right, now let's take a look back in the Gemara. All right, so we're around 15 lines from the bottom on 26a, around 15 lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara says, we can have, the Mishnah says, I can have a snack outside the sukkah. B'kama achilat aroi, how much is achilat aroi? So Amar Rav Yosef, partei utlat bay. Rav Yosef said two or three eggs. He says, Amar li abayi vazin skin sakit le inish bahati probably suda keva. Two or three eggs, that's like a suda's keva. That's like a regular meal already. It means two or three eggs of bread. He says, Ela Amar abayi says, kibetayim barbe rab ayel akala. He says, achilas aroi is the amount that a Talmud will eat before rushing off to a shir. So that, like you're on the fly, and that now it comes out, it seems like that will be like a beitzah, is what it's going to come out, because we'll connect this up to the Gemara later on. And now, Tan Rabbanan, Ochlin Achilat Aroi Chutz HaSukkah. The Brice says you can have Achilat Aroi like a snack outside the Sukkah, but Ein Yishenim Shenet Aroi Chutz HaSukkah. But you can't sleep Shenet Aroi like a nap outside the Sukkah. My time, why? Amrabashi Gzeir Shema Yeradei. So Rav Ashi says the reason why the sleep, I can't do a light sleep, I'm afraid that he's going to like go into a deep slumber, and then he'll be violating the dinim of sukkahs, because sukkahs require you to sleep in the sukkah, unless you have one of the turim that we spoke about, it's too cold or something like that. So he says here, Amale Abaye, Elahad Tanya, so Abaye says, so again, Amale Abaye, Elahad Tanya, Shinadam Shinarai B'tzvillin, Avalo Shina Keva. So he's switching to a different area in halacha, but also related to Shana, that the Brisa says a person could take a brief nap with his tefillin on, avalo shena keva. Now, he can't sleep with a deep sleep. We're afraid he's going to pass gas. So the light sleep, we're not afraid about that. But lecha shema yiradein. But if we're always concerned that when a person has a light sleep, he can go into a deep sleep, and that's the way you explain types up by sukkahs, why I can't do the one that allowed to do the light sleep outside the sukkah, compared to going to deep sleep. So the same thing should be true by tefillin, that if I let him light sleep, we'll go into deep sleep. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Rabbi Loi, the Moser Shena Tola Achenim. So Rav Yosef, Rav Rabbi Loi says, the Brice is talking about with tefillin, where he asks somebody to keep an eye on him and wake him up. In other words, I want to sleep for 10 minutes, wake me up after 10 minutes, and then I'm relying on that other person. In Achinami, normally, would be afraid a person would go into deep sleep, but I really appoint somebody. Maktifa Rasharshia, Arvach, Arvatsarik. So Rasharsh said, yeah, but your guarantor needs somebody to guarantee. Who's going to guarantee? Like, I'm going to sleep. I ask Shimon to wake me up. Who's going to make sure that Shimon wakes me up? Maybe Shimon will be. And they ask him on this, you know, is a different situation, but that's the, you know, where this comes up is sometimes. Like sometimes there are certain things like you're not to like eat in a half hour before Kriyat Shema or things like that. So sometimes they say if you have somebody who remind you to do the mitzvah, that lets you off the hook. So that comes from this Gemara. But in this Gemara, though, it seems like it's docha, that idea, like of relying on somebody. So he says here on the first white line downstairs, Yela Amar Rav Baruchan Yochanan, the Maniach Rosho Ben Birkav Baskinan. So Rav Baruchan says in Yochanan, that in the case with tefillin, we're talking about that he puts his head between his knees. So I saw, I think in the article they said, like, let's say he mistamily, like he folds his arms and he puts his arms on his knees, but in a way that we're not afraid that he'll be able to fall into a deep sleep. That's what we're talking about. Now, that's answer number one. So either way, the point being, by tefillin, I'm not concerned that he's going to fall into a deep sleep. But if that weren't the case, I would be concerned. In other words, I do have to wait to be concerned. Now, Rava Amar, Rava says, no, fundamentally, there's a big difference between sukkah and tefillin. Rava Amar, in Keva L'Shena, Rava says that we're not afraid somebody's going to go into a deep sleep. So by tefillin, it's totally permissible. But by sukkah, Shena Rai is prohibited. There's no difference between Shena Rai and Shena Keva when it comes to Sukkah. That's what Rav is saying. He says, because sometimes a person just takes a little nap and that's all he needs. And Mamela, so Mamela, he has to be in the Sukkah even for the little nap. So Rav Amar in Keva to Shena. So Rav says, when it comes to sleeping in the Sukkah, there's no distinction between Shena Rai and Shena Keva. They're both prohibited outside the Sukkah. So because even the Shein HaRayah could be enough for him to get a bye with. So he has to do it in the Sukkah. But but when it comes to tefillin, we're not afraid that a person will, you know, the Shein HaRayah will turn into a Shein HaKeva. So Tani Chana, we learn in one brisa, Yashin Nidam Tefillin Shein HaRayah Vol Shein HaKeva. One brisa says a person could take a nap with tefillin, but not a permanent, like a heavy slumber. The Tani Idach Ben Keva Ben HaRayah. Another brisa learns that I could do both, I could sleep either way. The Tani Idach Lo Keva Lo HaRayah. Another brisa says I can't do Keva, I can't do HaRayah. So I have three brises with three different holdings. One says I can never sleep with my tefillin Shein HaRayah Shein HaKeva. One says I can always sleep with my tefillin, whether it's Shein HaRayah Shein HaKeva. One says I can only sleep with my tefillin Shein HaRayah, but not Shein HaKeva. So the Gemara says Lo Kasha. There's no contradiction between the brises. Hadanaki Lu Biyade. So if he's holding it in his hands, in other words, he's got the tefillin in a bag, whatever, or the tefillin itself in his hands, so then he can't sleep keva, he can't sleep arai, where it's going to fall out of his hands. So he's holding the tefillin in his hands, that's the brisa says, he can't sleep in a rai, in a keva. That's that case. Hadaman chebereshe. Then there's a case where the tefillin are on his head, and presumably on his arm as well, he's allowed to shein in a rai, but not shein a keva, because we're afraid he'll pass gas. Had the paris sudra ilave, and then the case where he could sleep shin arai and sleep shin akeva is the tefillin are wrapped up in a garment, so that then he could sleep shin arai and shin akeva. But kama shin arai, how much is a shin arai? We said that a person is allowed to go shin arai, a light slumber in with his tefillin. So it says tani rabbi mori cheskel they look my ama. Rabbi Chesed says the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amot. 100 amot means 150 feet, which doesn't seem very long at all. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a price that supports this. A Yashin the tefillin, if a person is sleeping with his tefillin, Baroa Keri, and then he has a seminal emission. Ochez Beritsua, so he should grab the tefillin by the Ritsua, by the straps, front page on the top line, on the base. Ve'eno Ochez Bekitsitsa, Divra of Yaakov. But he shouldn't grab onto the bayit, according to Rabbi Yaakov. The bayit has got the shin from the Shem Hashem that has special kedusha, and Mimela, he needs to wash his hands. But Chachamim Omrim, Yashin Adam B'Tefillin Shin Arai, Aval Lo Shin Ad Keva. So wait, one second. So, one second. Yeah. So it means like this. So Rabbi Yaakov implies that a person is allowed to go to even a Shein HaKeva with the tefillin, because he says, like Michael was saying, that carry your Shein HaKeva. So Ayashim is still the carry, so we think that he's saying you can go to even a Shein HaKeva with tefillin. What to do if you do wake up in a situation like that? You'll grab by the straps of the ketzitza. But Chachamim Omrim, Yashin Adam B'Tefillin Shein HaRayah V'Lo Shein HaKeva. The Chachamim say you should only take the light slumber with the tefillin, not the deep sleep with the slumber. He says, Kama Shein HaRayah, how long is Shein HaRayah that I'm allowed to do with the tefillin? Today he looks 100 amot, same as we said before.
Oh, it's less. The other was 150, no?
No. It was 100 amot, which is each arm is 1.5 feet. So I said 150 feet. So 100 amot is 150 feet.
Right.
Sounds like, yeah, with the gas, it sounds like he's also not worried about it. That's what it sounds like. I don't know. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. So on line four, Amarav, Asuli Dom Nishom Bayom Yotemi Shein Rasus. Now, Rav says a person's not allowed to sleep bichlal during the day, longer than Shein HaRasus, longer than the horse's slumber. So, and Rashi says, because of Bintul Torah. In other words, I shouldn't pass my day like busy sleeping and snoozing. I should be Oseik B'Torah. So, Asur L'Dam L'Shom B'Yom L'Yotim Shein HaRasus, V'Kama Shein HaRasus, how much is the horse? Somebody needs to mute themselves. One second, let me help you out. Okay, so he says, V'Kama Shein HaRasus, how long is the horse's slumber? Shita Nishmei, 60 breaths. He says, Amar Abaye, Shinate Demar Kidrav. The sleep of Mar, which is Rabba Bar Nachmani, who was his uncle, and his Rebbe is like Rav. Udrav Kidrebi. And Rav's slumber was like Rebbe's slumber. Udrebi Kidavid. And Rebbe his sleep was that Rebbe had him in Sora from David HaMelech with the David Kisusya. David was like the Sus. With the Sussia Shita Nishmei. Now, with the Shita Nishmei, so there's three main Shitot. Some say it's like 3 1/3 minutes. Some say it's like, I think, 20 minutes. And some say it's like, I think, 3 hours or 3.5 hours. This also comes up for, well, you're jumping ahead and I didn't get to that. One second. So this comes up for, let's say it's the night of Shavuos. If the person's sleeping, so if he sleeps a certain amount of sleep, he has to make Birchos HaTorah. So how long can he sleep and then be obligated in it? So I think I wrote down that Rav Schechter holds, I think it's like the half hour one. That would be up to then you could sleep and not Michaiv in those brachot. So it's just a shenishman. Now Abaye Havanayim, Abaye would sleep kidima'ayil mipompadit lebe kube. Like for the distance it would take to go from Pompadi to the Bekuve. So here Rashi says in the fifth hour line, the Mefarish Makom Acher Davushita Parse. So it explains another place that six parse would be 24 mil. So 24 mil, so a parse they usually say is like 72 minutes. 72 minutes. So 72 minutes is an hour and 12 minutes. So times six would be 6 hours and then another 72. So it's like over 7 hours. I assume that's where you had to think with the 6 hours from this. So it's coming out that according to this, it would be, so it would be like 6-7 hours. But others say, but again, on the side though, if you look, he says, if you look in the blurb in the source of Shas, he says, Lo idam mekomo. I don't know where Rashi got this, that it's six parse. So Rashi says, so someone would say it's much less than that. That's what it sounds like. He's like slipping away. So Kari Alei Rabbi Yosef Amatay Atzel Tishkav Matay Tekum Mishnatecha. So Rabbi Yosef applied to him the following pasuk: how long, lazy one, are you going to lie down? When are you going to get up from your sleep? But some want to say it wasn't anything like 7 hours in fraction. It was much, much less. Okay, now Tanur Rabbanan Anichnas Lishon Bayom. If a person goes to sleep during the day, Ratzah Choleitz Ratzah Maniach. So he's telling you he's got his tefillin. So if he wants, he can take the tefillin off, but ratzam meniach, if he wants, maniach doesn't mean to put it on. He could leave the tefillin on. He says, balayla, at night, choleitz ve'ino meniach divrei Rabbi Natan. At night, he has to take it off and he can't leave the tefillin on. Now here, the Gemara seems to be concerned mostly with having relations with one's wife and shechvat zera. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yiladim liolam choltzim ve'ena manichim. That Yiladim means like the young men always take off the tefillin. They don't leave it on when they go to sleep. Neshur gilin betuma, because they always have like seminal emissions. In other words, they would wear tefillin the whole day. And now he wants to go. He wants to go to sleep. So he says, wait. But Laila cholait. No. Yeah. So. Anichnas lishon b'yom, ratzach choleitz v'sa maniach. But Laila, at night, choleitz v'eino maniach. In other words, he takes it off and he doesn't leave it on him. In other words, he was wearing it during the day, and now he's... So here, the Gemara is saying he has to be choleitz because of the relations. That's the way the Gemara seems to say. Now, again, there's some shittot that hold that Laila is man tefillin. Some shittot we actually hold that Laila is man tefillin, but we're choshesh for... the hafacha. In other words, but really, we really, really pass on Lila is man tefillin. But let's take a look. He says, which, what? Oh, sorry, let's take a look. So he says, again, Rabbi Nachman says you should take it off. So Rabbi Nachman says that young men always take it off, they never leave it on. They should regilim betuma. Lamech Savar Rabbi Yossi, I'll carry a sirlaniya tefillin. Should we say the Tan Rabbi Yossi says that the young men always take it off and they don't leave it on because the regular mituma that he holds the Baal Keri is not allowed to put on tefillin. So if I have Keri, I can't have the tefillin on. Amar Abaye, Biladim Mishoteni Mahena Skinan. We're talking about young men with their wives, Shemi Avoli Behar Gildavar, unless they have got like some relationship, have relations with your tefillin, obviously bad news. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, shechach b'shemish mitzvah tefillin. If a person forgot himself and he had intimate relations with his wife while he was wearing tefillin, it sounds like such a strange thing. So he shouldn't hold the tefillin by the ritzua. He shouldn't hold it by the ketitza. Until he washes his hands, because the hands touch all sorts of places. Okay, let me wrap this Gemara up. Now, the last Mishnah said that you can eat achilas arai outside the sukkah. I can have a little snack outside the sukkah. So manitin maaseh v'biulo Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai l'tomei d'tavshil. There was an incident where they brought Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to taste a cooked dish on sukkahs, outside the sukkah. Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, 2 days, a bucket of water. But Amru, they both said, "Helum the sukkah, bring it to the sukkah. We're eating it in the sukkah." Ushenanu lo Rabbi Tzadok ocha pachot mikbeitza, and when they gave Rabbi Tzadok food that was less than the size of a beitza, nitalo b'mapa, he took it in a napkin. In other words, he held that you're not chayav to wash for this bread that's less than a kibetza, but he put it in a mapa for hygiene reasons. But achlo chutzah sukkah, he ate it outside the sukkah because he held it not chayav to eat in the sukkah. He says, below be reich akarav. He didn't bench because he held it not chayav to bench on that. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, mas of the store. So here in the previous Mishnah, he teaches me achilat arai is permissible outside the sukkah. And then he teaches me an incident with two tanayim who are makbid even with a little snack outside the sukkah. So he says, Chisuri Mechser of a Haki Kitani. He says, if there are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is the way we should understand the Mishnah or the Mishnayot. Im balach mir lasmo machmir. If a person chooses to be stringent, then that's fine. The late bay nishum yura. That's not like arrogance. Like yura is like, I'm like demonstrating like a type of haughtiness because I'm assuming a certain position where I'm not there. But that's not yura. And that's what the post can say, that there are certain things you're obligated to eat in sukkah. But if a person is machmir, even to not drink a cup of water outside the sukkah, so tavola bracha, that's meritorious. He says, umasenami bevilu Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai l'tomei d'tavshil. This is they brought like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai taste the tavshil. Rabbi Gamliel shneiko tavola lishamayim, and they brought Rabbi Gamliel 2 dates and a bucket of water on the top line of chavzayin and aleph. Va'amru helum l'sukkah. They said bring it to the sukkah. Ushenan lo Rabbi Tzadok ocho pachot mikveitza. When they brought to Rabbi Tzadok food that was less than the size of a beitza, bread less than the size of an egg, nitaloba mapa, he put it in a napkin. But achalo chutzasukah, he held it's not chayim nitzilsidayim. The mapa was just for hygiene, and he ate it outside the sukkah. He held not chayim sukkah, but obir echacharabi. He holds not chayim benching. So the Gemara deduces from that hakabetsa by sukkah. So the implication of Reb Tzadok's story is that if he would have had the size of a beitza, then he would eat a bedafka in the sukkah. It was he ate it outside the sukkah, it was less than a beitza. If it would be a beitza, then it'd be chayav in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, "Lema te beitiyuf to Rabbi Yosef Abai." So if you remember earlier in the daf, we learned how much is achilas arai. So Rabbi Yosef said, "Trei utlape, 2 or 3 eggs." That Rabbi Yosef said was arai, and Abai said it's what a talmid could eat before he goes to the shir, which we think is like the beitza. So this should shlug them up because one holds that 2 or 3 eggs is achilas arai. Well, it's an egg is a chizurai, and here we say that an egg is a chayv in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, "Dilma pachot mikbeitza nitilu bracha l'boy." Maybe that's not the point. You're right. There is a beitza in this incident, but there are a couple of different halachot in play. One is sukkah, one is nitilas adayim, one is benching. So when it says that he ate kibetza, he says, "Dilma pachot mikbeitza nitilu bracha l'boy." The point being that he doesn't have to wash his hands on bread less than a beitza. He doesn't have to bench on bread less than a kibetza. A kibetza by nitilu bracha, but a beitza he would have to wash. But it could be, not chayav in the sukkah, unless it could be like a bayi, I need a beitza, or according to Rav Yosef, you need 2 or 3 beitzim. All right, now let me just, okay.
This is Talmud and Rebbe, right? Rav Yosef and a bayi.
Right.
You wouldn't want them to be cholik, right?
Well, they were, though, they were. And we had it on Bava Manal, but they did have different opinions of that. Okay, now.
So what's the bottom line here? Kibetza?
So halach lemaisa, I think for bench, I need to review it, okay? Because there's kazayas and there's kibetza. I need to review for benching and washing and the whole zah. Okay, now.
For sukkah? What for sukkah? Beitza?
The way I recall, is the fear of to be obligated in a sukkah, I think they say is kibetza, but there's a stira because on the first night we have a gzeira shava that you could do the mitzvah with a kazayas. I need to review all the halakhot, okay? I need to review it now. All right, there's more here on this gemara, but I think I'm going to call it a day with this. Okay, anyway. Okay, nice seeing you. Let me end the recording.